Hello, everyone. It's George from Ireland. A ghastly milestone has been passed. It's a quarter century since Vladimir Vladimirovich Putin became acting president of the Russian Federation. I well remember being with a friend in Manchester to celebrate the millennium when there was an announcement of the news that Boris Yeltsin, then the president of Russia, said, "I'm going before the established time." He resigned a few months early. He was due to serve on to May 2000, but the declension in his health was severe. He was a functioning alcoholic, and there he was. Was he about 70 at the time? So in August, he'd appointed someone virtually unknown, Putin, to be prime minister, and he was the fourth prime minister that year. So Putin, he'd been something in the mayor's office in St. Petersburg, having been a KGB officer in the 80s. Then he rose to be director of the FSB, shortly after became prime minister. The apartment block bombings, which we now know that the Russian government did against its own civilians, murdered hundreds of civilians to justify a new attack on Chechnya. It's a measure of the man. So Putin came in, and his appointment was greeted with general relief, someone who was at least capable when he became president as well as prime minister. So he held both those offices at the same time. It was actually substantively prime minister, but exercised presidential powers simultaneously. I'm not sure of the constitutionality of that. I remember teaching Russian pupils about the Third Reich and saying, well, Adolf Hitler was chancellor and then became president as well. The whole idea they're going to be two separate people, but he combined both offices in himself. Was that lawful? And I decided it would be inadvisable to draw the parallel with V.V. Putin. So initially, his popularity shot up. And so people liked someone who was young, who was vigorous, who was healthy, who seemed to be abstemious when it came to alcohol. And the United Russia or rallied around him, formerly Our Home is Russia, which was Putin's party. And also some pop songs came out about him, a PR blitz. He published that autobiography, The First Person. And then he refused to reveal his policies, but the cult of Putin was born. And he was duly elected that May 2000. So Russia was coming out of a very difficult period. All through the 80s into the 90s, the economy had been contracting. There'd been the dissolution of the Soviet Union. There'd been, within 2 years of that, there was open fighting on the streets of Moscow. The White House of Moscow's and the House of the Russian government was a burnt out shell. When I visited Moscow first time in April 1994, it was almost a failed state. People weren't paid for months. And prices went crazy, all the rest of it. Some people got very, very rich overnight. By about 97, it was beginning to turn around out of the financial crisis. The ruble was gaining in value. So actually, when Putin came in as prime minister in 99, the situation was already moving in the right direction. But it continued under him in 2000, and he finally managed to pay people on time. So he ended the severe bullying of conscripts in the army, which often led to their murder. I mean, beaten to death, driven to suicide, the way army officers were allowed to use the conscripts as slaves. I use that word advisedly, slaves, hire them out to do farm laboring, anything, even male prostitutes in some cases. But the war in Chechnya initially made him popular, was successful. He prepared for this, and he reconquered Chechnya within a few years. But things went wrong from very early in his presidency. On his holiday in August 2000, there's the Kursk submarine. Things went wrong. They were trapped there. They couldn't resurface. They were communicating, and Western navies offered to rescue the sailors, but he refused to do so. He went ahead with his holiday, and loads of them died avoidably. He wouldn't accept foreign help because that would reveal the secrets of the interior of the submarine, and that mattered more to him than saving dozens of sailors. And there was a backlash against him. The media savaged him. It's hard to remember. In the 90s, into the early noughties, Russia was a genuinely free country with a free media, with real freedom of speech, with the right to demonstrate and so on, which they hadn't had since 1917, had somewhat independent courts, very corruptible, but they weren't necessarily taking orders from the president. And that's why things like the apartment block bombings came out in chat shows. And we got chapter and verse on that one. I mean, the apartment block bombings, they even announced where one of the bombs was going to go, I think, in Voronezh. 3 days, the bomb has gone off in an apartment block in Voronezh. No, it hadn't. 3 days later, it did. They'd already written the press release, and this is how incompetent the FSB is, as in Federalna Slushba Bezpečnosti, is they actually, the politicians then read the statement when the bomb hadn't gone off. They then could have cancelled the attack, and on and on and on. So Putin, he decided he was not going to be humiliated to the press before, and he began stealthily taking over the media, and then the Overton window began to close. The spectrum of permissible expressions narrowed and narrowed and narrowed. And the Constitution guarantees there is no censorship, except if it's rehabilitating fascism, except if it's spreading religious hatred, except if it's spreading racial hatred, except if it's spreading hatred against the sexes, except if it's humiliating a public official, except. So many exceptions, there is no generality left, and so on. Although there was major cheating in the 1996 election, some crazy election results in the second round, Putin would probably lost that to Gennady Zyuganov, the Communist Party candidate. So Putin was very popular initially. I remember some Russian summer school students tell me 2004, all Russian people like him, which was an exaggeration. But salaries went up, inflation went down, the currency gained value, unemployment went down, people started to get paid on time, the pensions increased. Pensions before weren't enough to feed a cat. And now they're just about enough to get three meals a day. So public sector workers, they got their salaries. You go months without them. The police were no longer shaking people down all the time because the only way they could survive. And there is corruption in Russia, but it's only at a high level. You've got to be discreet. It's got to be serious money. So the average person is not having to deal with this on a daily basis. So he beefed up the armed forces. 2007, they began to be able to afford to do this. The oil and the gas prices went higher and higher. So there was some sort of order, some sort of very rough justice. But he'd called some of the oligarchs to a meeting a few months into his presidency and read them the Riot Act. You can keep all your ill-gotten lucre, but you don't interfere in politics. You're not to rip the public off anymore. So Mikhail Khodorkovsky had shoehorned him to office. Boris Berezovsky was an early supporter of his, but they quickly fell out with him very badly indeed. And there was a genuine fight against corruption. And Bill Browder, that American, now British investors there, invested their Hermitage capital. Initially, his enemies were Putin's enemies, people who were stealing a lot of money out of state-owned companies. So there was a symbiosis there for a while, but Putin, really the czar of corruption, was insisting on major payments for the people. Then Mikhail Khodorkovsky disregarded his warnings not to support the opposition and then ended up in jail, serving, was it like a 20-year sentence for, I think, some sort of environmental transgressions. Russia's got an abysmal record on ecology, so they simply went after him selectively because he's a political prisoner, although he probably did actually do what he was accused of. But Berezovsky then went abroad, lived in the United Kingdom, never became a British citizen then, and then he rapidly turned totally against Putin and said Putin should be overthrown by force. Jack Straw, the foreign secretary, was incensed, but Berezovsky won his asylum claim and could not be extradited. So Putin, he'd obviously 2004 wanted to take over Ukraine indirectly, getting his man Viktor Yanukovych elected president. Didn't work. The Orange Revolution, Yushchenko came in, the guy who Putin had tried to murder. So Putin was a bit circumspect, was not that sure of his own position, gradually managed to purge Yeltsin-era people and put his own placemen in there, a deal with the Yeltsin family. There'd be no prosecutions for their massive scale defalcations, but in return, they had to stay out of politics. His daughter was quite a major political player at the time. His son was a nincompoop, was no threat, and so on. Bringing back some of these czarist symbols, appealing to Soviet nostalgia, hyper-nationalism, this faux religiosity. That's his magic formula for winning elections, militarism, and then eventually invading Georgia. But, you know, he did his two terms. The 2004 election, he won fair and square, not by quite as high a percent as they say, but there's no question he was genuinely popular, but gradually took over all the media, so on. So that is Putin. How much longer is he going to be there and who comes next? That's the million-dollar question. So he's just, in March, so-called won another election for 6 years. And he can have 6 years after that, after rejigging the Constitution twice. So he could go on till he's 84. But we shall see. I mean, I doubt he will. This Ukraine war, they haven't won it. They're not exactly losing it, but he's not covered himself in glory there. And his health could decline rapidly than we think. Almost something is quite seriously wrong with him, Parkinson's and or indeed cancer, but having the best medical care there is, you can live for decades with these things. Even people with terminal cancer can live up to 15 years. So we haven't seen the last of Putin. Very evil, evil man. He was effective, at least in the early years. Morality aside, he did improve Russia in some ways, although he's obviously a hideous oppressor and a mass murderer. Well, thank you for watching my channel. Make sure to subscribe on Patreon, donate to PayPal, georgecallan79@gmail.com. Goodbye.